You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to First Bite, the Pride of Detroit's preview podcast for prideofdetroit.com. But instead of previewing the upcoming week, we have moved to the offseason. We want to talk general manager candidates, head coaching candidates, all that sort of fun stuff. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I am the managing editor over at Pride of Detroit and your co-host for First Bite. With me, as always, Ryan Matthews. Ryan, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, but I can't believe we didn't call an audible. Dalvin Cook is out. The Lions stand a chance. Stop hurrah,
it.
Hurrah.
Oh, no, okay. It's going to be an Amir Abdullah show, and he's going to show us up. And there's your preview. We're done with it.
I'm 100% here for a Amir Abdullah revenge game.
All right. So there was news late last week, that the Lions have a brand new general manager candidate that no one really was talking about. One that's kind of a name that there isn't a ton of info out there. So I wanted to dig right into it. And that's Brad Holmes, the director of college scouting for the Rams. He's had that position since 2013. And we have a special guest to talk about him and give us a kind of background based on his time covering the Rams. That's our good friend now, our now good friend, I should say, Vinny Bonsignor, over the beat writer for the Raiders now over at the Las Vegas Review Journal, but spent decades in LA covering the Rams. Vinny, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year to you as well. The reason I reached out to you is because you had a really, really interesting article in The Athletic where it sounded like you had a lot of backroom access there, entitled Inside the Rams Draft Process, the Most In-Depth System in the NFL, where you interviewed Holmes amongst a ton of people in that organization. Before we get into Holmes at all, what makes the Rams draft process so in depth? Like, why is that something that's so interesting and so unique and has obviously shown the Rams a lot of success in recent years?
Yeah. And, you know, keep in mind, they haven't had a first round pick since 2016 with Jared Goff. They gave up, you know, draft picks to go up to the top of the draft to go get him. They've traded away first round picks in the Jalen Ramsey trade, among others. When you look at the Rams drafts, especially, post 2016, they've been getting it done and bringing in, high quality players beyond the first round. And I think that's a testament to their organization. There's a lot of bright minds in that front office and in the office that Les Snead, their general manager, is the leader of, Brad Holmes included. He's a trusted lieutenant with a big voice in the process. There's a lot of respect and teamwork in that process and in that front office. And allowing people to have ideas, you know, and I'll just tell a quick story. I remember, this filters down throughout that organization, but I remember talking to some offensive linemen about their conversations with Sean McVay and how Sean McVay and their offensive line coach, Aaron Cromer, give these players a seat at the table in terms of the process and talking and articulating and picking their brain and a voice, basically. And I remember saying, I believe it was Rob Havenstein, or maybe it was Andrew Whitworth, it was along the lines of, well, shouldn't that be the case everywhere? Shouldn't, you know, the players be a process and coaches and front office want and value your opinion? And it was one of those slap on the back, you know, you're so naive, Vinny. No, it's not always the case there. It should be, but it isn't always the case from organization to organization. But that's something that the Rams preach from the top down. And, you know, as a result, somebody as bright and as capable as a Brad Holmes has a voice in the process, and a big voice in the process. And I think throughout, you know, because of that organization, because of that willingness to listen and be open-minded and kind of check the ego at the door, you end up with positive drafts, even though you don't have first round picks.
Yeah, that's a lot of that's a lot of goodwill, I think, that you build up, especially when you become a voice that's that big in an organization that, you know, like you said, without many first round picks to make the kind of selections that they have made, with Brad Holmes being the director of college scouting since 2013. Vinny, if you could maybe provide a little bit more insight into his role in terms of some of the players that he's hit on. I think the biggest one is probably Aaron Donald. And that's a name that definitely sends chills down Lions fans' spines, because that's a touchy subject with us, but can you elaborate? Yeah. The one that got away. Could you elaborate a little bit more on maybe Brad Holmes and maybe even what he is like, you know, his role specifically within that organization?
Yeah, well, he's the head of the department, you know, college scouting. So he runs that department, and obviously he's got an army of scouts that work under him. And you know, their draft process goes back to, they're already working on the draft process, obviously, but it really gets underway in terms of scouting the next wave in training camp. And by the time you know guys get to training camp, scouts they have their organizational meetings during training camp. You know, that's when scouts get their walking orders of where they're going to be and who the priorities are and who the top players are. And then each of those scouts fans out across the country, covering their area of the country, including Brad Holmes. But one of the things that he does is, they call it, I forget the exact term, but anyway, it's when somebody likes somebody, or really like somebody, you know, they want to get other eyeballs on them. And this, when I'm saying this is during the course of the college football season. So they have basically a double cover where somebody over the top of that scout now comes in and checks it out as well, you know, to get eyeballs on the player themselves. Because obviously one scout can't go see everybody. That's impossible in the course of the season. So he'll come in, as coverage to take a look at somebody that, you know, the guys are taking a look at. And in the case of Aaron Donald, that's another case of, communication and, you know, everyone feeling comfortable to voice their opinion. It was a lower level scout who was cutting up film of Pitt and that area of the country. And he kept seeing, you know, Aaron Donald just make a play after play after play. And, you know, it was one of those, hey guys, I just want to let you know there's a guy at Pittsburgh, you know, that this guy's pretty good, you know. It kind of evolved from there. The passion that the Rams had for Aaron Donald, and then that continued at the Senior Bowl, where he just blew up the Senior Bowl. Unfortunately for them, the teams ahead of them, and keep in mind, you know, they had the second pick in the draft that year, and they drafted a tackle from Auburn with the second pick, who just kind of flamed out. But I think Aaron was, what, the 13th pick or 14th pick, somewhere along there, in that draft, and he was still there, kind of inexplicably when you look back at it now. And the Rams got their guy. But it was teamwork. It literally sometimes comes down to that. Not to say that Aaron Donald was a unknown or anything like that. Obviously, he was a first-round pick. But this lower-level scout who kind of fell in love with him just cutting up film, and that's all his job was to cut up film to get it to people like Brad Holmes and other people like that. And he just made a point, you guys have to see this guy, Aaron Donald, at Pitt, and that's kind of where it really started, their connection to him.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting story. And you kind of mentioned how the whole top-down approach where everyone's doing their job, everyone is kind of staying out of each other's way and letting everyone do their own job. That's something that Chris Spielman specifically talked about, what he wanted to build here in Detroit. Guys that can hire smart people around them and trust them to do their own job instead of having that, you know, like you said, checking your ego at the door, that sort of thing, which kind of leads me into my next question. Who's Brad Holmes as a person? There's so little information out there about him. You put out a tweet recently calling him emotionally intelligent, great listener, detailed, patient. Can you expand on that? What do you know about him as a person?
Yeah, definitely all of those things. You know, a true gentleman, there's no question about that. But somebody that when you sit down and talk to him, you understand he is where he is. And to check the ego at the door characterization, if you think about it, yeah, you haven't heard much about him. You know, if you're a Rams fan, you know who he is. And in the NFL, obviously people know who Brad Holmes is. He's definitely on the Lions radar in a strong way. But I think that the fact that he's not that well known almost speaks to, something that's very, appealing about him. And he everyone has an ego, obviously, but it's where, you know, he's tooting or his own horn or he's trying to, you know, make it about him, or he's, you know, getting the name out there. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but there are people who do that, and their name gets out there, and the name recognition starts to, circulate above just the normal level of the NFL, where obviously you should be known. So I think that he does a good job of just doing his job really quietly, well, and really outstandingly, but quietly. And I think that's a positive attribute in today's world, where, yeah, you know, people are pushing and shoving their way to the top sometimes, maybe not always deservingly so. A guy like Brad Holmes has been able to fly under the radar in a national kind of a way, but do a tremendous job. If you look at that Rams roster, they're able to, again, recreate themselves, but replenish themselves with some high-priced players on that team. And that's the other thing to keep in mind. You know, when you're building a championship caliber team and you have, you know, you're extended in a big way on your quarterback, your defensive tackle, Ramsey has a big contract. You know, Robert Woods now has a pretty big deal. You know, they pay the guys that they value. Sometimes you have to end up walking away from somebody that you really like, but you just don't have enough money under the cap to be able to sign that player. Corey Littleton comes to mind, but you can do that more confidently because behind the scenes, you know, you're drafting and developing guys that maybe the whole world doesn't know, but pretty soon they're going to go, "Hey, who's that guy?" Well, he's been on the roster for about a year or 2 years, kind of slowly working his way into the mix, and is ready to step up when you move on from a veteran that, you know, because of the salary cap, you have to. Corey Littleton is a perfect example. He was a undrafted free agent in 2016, and at the time, Alec Ogletree was a very productive guy, middle linebacker, inside linebacker that was, you know, 90 plus tackles every year. And they had just re-signed him to a new contract, but because of other priorities, it was, hey, we may have to move on from Alec. You know, what are we going to do if we do that? And there's Alec, there's Corey Littleton waiting in the wings. And I remember their linebacker coach, Joe Barry, telling me, you know, Sean McVay calls him up and says, "Hey, you know, we're thinking about moving on from Alec Ogletree. Do we have coverage? Are we going to be okay if we do that?" Heck yes. Corey Littleton's here. You know, he's going to be able to get the job done. You know, you got my word on that. And that's testament to not just Joe Barry and the defensive coordinator, who at the time, Wade Phillips, developing Corey Littleton, but Corey Littleton just being there in the first place. And that goes all the way to, you know, Les Snead and Brad Holmes and their staffs and being able to find those diamonds in the rough.
Joe Barry, by the way, a name that Lions fans are probably pretty familiar with.
Yeah. That's an awesome picture you paint there, Vinny. The thing that I would like you to maybe even get a little bit more in depth on is, and I know it's a little bit difficult just because he's the director of college scouting, right? So he's a little bit buried underneath, you know, Les Snead and either Taylor Morton, Brian Sanders, these other guys. But you bring up this idea of like it's a really delicate dance that he has to play in terms of, you know, getting an undrafted free agent like Corey Littleton or, playing with these draft picks that aren't necessarily first round draft picks and trying to seek out certain players. So can you maybe paint a little picture for Lions fans as to like what kind of players does he value? I mean, is character a really big component? Maybe speed versus strength? Is he really tuned into analytics? Can you kind of paint the picture of, who Brad Holmes is as a talent evaluator?
Well, you know, and as it's been expressed to me, all of those play a role in that. Obviously, character is a huge component of what the Rams, you know, have tried to build. And, you know, I know that, it's a cliche, blah, 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 good character guys. Well, it's important. And it's not just a cliche, and it's not just, throwing that word out there. It's a big part of this. And I think the Rams have built a strong culture because of that, the hard line that they draw on high character players. And if you look at that roster, it's filled with them. And I think that, the work that the Rams do, and Brad Holmes is a huge part of that, with the back checks and the vetting and the understanding of who the person is that they're targeting and want to bring into their building, they do draw a hard line. And I'll say this. I can remember a couple of drafts where, you know how like we're looking at things from our own eyes, looking at tape. Oh wow, this guy's so great. You know, where does he fit on your board? He's not on our board. Well, why not? He's just not on our board. You realize that there were some character flaws that they just, even though the production, based on just what we're watching, looked pretty reasonable and NFL caliber. It did matter, that player was not on their draft board, and they weren't going to touch him, and they moved, and so he's off the board, and I think that's important because it's not just who you bring in, but also what you avoid and what you don't bring in, because that can clutter things, and that can one bad apple, and all of a sudden the whole thing is toppling over, and so I think Brad Holmes, when you're talking about what kind of player he will pound the door for, or what he prefers, that type of thing. If that's the question, I think character obviously comes into play. Obviously you have to play, but also this is really important. There's a lot of synergy between the head coach and the coaching staff, and not just Sean McVay, but their offensive coordinator and Aaron Cromer, the offensive line coach. There's a lot of synergy in terms of what the coaching staff is articulating to the front office, Les Snead and his group and Brad Holmes and his group on, hey, this is the type of system that we run. This is the kind of scheme that we run. This is what we need. These are the type of players that we need. And so when the coaches are expressing and articulating those attributes that they're looking for to fit the whatever it is that they're doing, schematically, the ability of Brad Holmes and his staff to now process that is very important, because now it kind of narrows what they're looking for, to fit what they're doing, offensively or defensively. And I think the important part of that is that synergy that I'm talking about. It's again, checking your ego at the door. It's being open to not thinking you know it all, and allowing your coach and your staff and your position coaches to really have a voice in that as well. And I think that's really important, because it builds trust. You're not just thinking that you have to do it all or can do it all. You're listening to the coaches and what their wants and needs are, and then you're formulating your plan based on that. So in a long-winded answer, it's kind of a combination of everything in terms of the players that he kind of prefers, but there's a big part of the skill set that's being articulated to him from the coaching staff.
All right, last question before we head to our first break. I kind of find it interesting that he's kind of at the top of some of these lists when you consider how deep that Rams bench is in terms of player personnel people. So like, why do you think he's potentially getting more opportunities over a guy like Taylor Morton, their senior personnel advisor, and someone you listed as the right-hand man to Les Snead, or Brian Zanders, a former GM who spent some time with the Lions before, and a very well-respected mind. So why do you think Brad Holmes is maybe, jumping them in order a little bit here?
Well, I think that people are looking at this Rams roster and, let's back this up a couple of years ago when the Rams made the trades for Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib, and I remember the national assumption was they're going all in, it's mm-hmm. now or never, and they're mortgaging their future, that sort of thing, and that kind of a narrative. And it was always just in my reporting, and you know, what it was always expressed to me, and I found this fairly obvious covering the team, but it was anything but. It was really a confidence level in that staff to, hey, we're going to extend ourselves maybe with these first round picks and these high draft picks to go get guys right now. But we're doing that because we believe that we could go find talent beyond just that first round. We have confidence that our staff is going to be able to still do the job even without those big first round picks. So that was the inner confidence in the building, and obviously that's come to fruition. You look at this roster and how well they've played in spite of giving away all kinds of first round picks. But on the flip side, I think that now when people are starting to look at how are the Rams doing this without first round picks and having high priced players like Jared Goff and Aaron Donald, how are they building a playoff caliber roster around all these guys and not really missing a beat? And you start having to, I'm sure that's when, well, they have a great staff that's putting great players into the pipeline, and who's responsible for that, or who's a big part of that. And Brad Holmes is a big part of that. And so that's how you earn your respect. And now I think teams are saying, maybe this is somebody that we need to come in and talk to, and see if maybe he's the right fit for this job. Because really, when you think about it, what makes a successful football team? Obviously, it's top down leadership. It's a great coach. It's a great general manager. It's a great staff, scouting staff, and all that. But the bottom line is bringing in talent. You need talented players. The more talented a team is, the better chance you are going to have to win. And how do you do that? How do you go about building a great roster? Well, it's not just hitting the obvious ones in the first round. It's a second and third and fourth and fifth. It's guys that you're bringing in as undrafted free agents. It's guys like Austin Blythe, who was cut by the Indianapolis Colts and, had to play guard a little bit out of necessity, which is his second position. Now he's a center and doing pretty well. He's one of the, last I checked, he was top 10 center, in the NFL by Pro Football Focus. It's guys like that. It's guys like David Edwards, a fourth or fifth round pick from Wisconsin that kind of fell in the draft. Now he's one of their starting guards. It's guys like that. And so I think, as teams are starting to look at their situations and, why isn't our roster, why do we have depth? Why don't we have, that's what we're looking for. Talent is the key. And so I think that people are recognizing the role that Brad Holmes has had in being able to replenish this roster, even without premium picks in some cases. And so he's rightfully landed on the radar as a result of that.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something that you tweeted out yesterday that should be of very big interest to Lions fans. And then we're going to talk about some of maybe the concerns about Brad Holmes, because there's no perfect candidate out there. I'm sure there are some things that should draw some concerns, and we'll talk about them when we come back on First Bite, our preview podcast.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Wow, that guy means business.
Just an amazing player.
No, not him, the sports photographer behind him.
What?
He has a business bank account with QuickBooks Money where he earns 5% annual percentage yield, so he's scoring big on and off the field. You might even say he's the MVB.
MVB?
The most valuable business.
Making your money work harder. That's how you business differently. Intuit QuickBooks. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
And we are back on First Bite talking about Lions general manager candidate Brad Holmes, the current Rams director of college scouting. We're here with Vinny Bonsignor, the Raiders beat writer for Las Vegas Review Journal, but he's been on the Los Angeles beat for plenty of years before that. I want to get right to it. Yesterday, which we're recording this on Wednesday, Tuesday, you tweeted out that it's your understanding that the Lions' interest in Brad Holmes is serious. Now, I'm not going to tell you to you know, out your source or anything, but can you give us any more detail there into why Lions fans should be a little more in tuned in this guy, maybe more so than some of the other candidates?
Yeah, how it's been described to me is serious, and that's not to say that he's going to be the guy. I'm sure there's some serious candidates, but I think that he's. The feedback that I've gotten is that throughout this, initial process, he's emerged as a serious candidate. So, that's not to say that he's going to get the job. I'm not really privy on who else they've really talked to and who else has, resonated with them. But what I do know is Brad Holmes has.
All right. I think maybe now we should transition to some concerns that we have of Brad Holmes. I guess the first thing would just be to straight up ask you, is there anything about the Rams drafting in the past few years, dating, I guess, all the way back to 2013 when he became the director of college scouting? Is there any consistent mistakes they've made? Anything that, maybe fans have been upset about, has he been more of an offensive guy, defensive guy, and any signs of struggle there? Because, it sounds like you've painted a pretty nice picture. And obviously since McVay has taken over, it has been a pretty nice picture over there in LA. But any weak spots there necessarily?
Obviously you're going to miss on guys here or there. But, I look at guys like John Johnson, who kind of came out of nowhere as a third round pick. I remember that year, it was 2017, I believe it was, and Wade Phillips was the defensive coordinator. And, they draft John Johnson in the third round from Boston College. Okay, training camp comes. John has I forget what kind of injury was. It was like a quad or a hamstring or something. So we didn't get a chance to see him in training camp, And I remember him telling me, he goes, I was literally – having nightmares that I was going to be the highest drafted player that never made it and never stepped a foot. I just felt like I was falling behind because I couldn't get out there and play. So he literally had those worries, but it was anything but. And about three games into the season, and this is, by the time training camp was over, in practice, we get to see maybe the first 20 minutes, first half hour, but then it's, we're out, they're game planning and they're doing their thing. So we really didn't get a chance as reporters and observers to see John Johnson very much. Come around the third game of the year, they literally, maybe a couple of days before a game, I want to say it was Washington, they literally cut their starting safety. And then we're all like, what's going on? And and John Johnson is going to be the starter, a guy that nobody had ever really seen. I think he had a pick six. I know he had an interception his first game. It might have been a pick six. But from day one, this dude was a stud, and now he's like the second ranked safety in the NFL. I'm not so sure that they're going to be able to re-sign him. By the way, if Brad Holmes becomes a general manager, keep an eye on John Johnson. That you can connect some dots there if there's a desire from John Johnson's part. But it's guys like that. It's guys like Sebastian Joseph Day, their starting nose tackle from Rutgers, who was, fifth round pick or so. It's Joe Noteboom. It's guys that they've been able to get starting quality play from the third round on, and it's Cooper Kupp. I'm sure you read the story. So, the story about the celebration that the Rams had, when Cooper ran his, what was it, a 4.6, I think it was, in the 40. Mm-hmm. Here, just so your listeners will know, Kupp is really a really good example. They loved him in college, all right? So there's no question that they loved him in college. They get to the Senior Bowl, and he just blows up in the Senior Bowl. He's having tremendous practices. I'm not sure what he did in the game, but nobody cares about that. It was what he was doing in practices. And the Rams were like, you know, we love this guy. And there was a technology that the Senior Bowl was utilizing to track players as far as how fast they were playing, not so much directly running, you know, like in the 40, but just playing, all right? And so we'll get to that in a second. But the Rams love this guy. They went to go check on him. They went and visited him a bunch of times. They built a good relationship with him. Sean McVay talked to him at the combine, you know, and so when he ran his, and they were in love with him, they wanted him, period. And so when he ran his 4.6, 4.7, 40 at the combine, they were, you know, I'm not sure how literally they were cracking open champagne bottles, but they were celebrating because they knew that that time was going to scare people away. And they were able to sit patiently and get him in the third round, and tremendous value in the third round, because they knew what a player he was for about the speed. The postscript to that is they went back and looked at that technology that I was talking about, which measures on-field speed. And through the technology, what they were seeing was reaffirmed, because in that Senior Bowl, I think it was the 2017 Senior Bowl, he was the fastest player in football speed, you know, when measured by playing. And so he wasn't so great in the straight 40, but nobody runs a straight 40 in football. But he was tremendous in just getting around and moving around and all the measurables that you're looking for a wide receiver, sans, you know, the 4.2 kind of speed. So that's a guy that, you know, that if I'm looking at a Brad Holmes, he's a prime example of Brad Holmes. And there's many others, John Johnson included. So, that's what one of, to me, his strong attribute is being able to find, along with his staff, those kind of players.
Yeah, I think Lions fans would be very happy to swap out one Boston College safety for another Boston College safety that's currently on the Lions roster, Vinny. Will Harris has not returned the same kind of dividends as John Johnson has this early in his career. But, you know, you bring up a lot of really good stuff, Vinny, and we appreciate that. The focus on analytics and things like that, I think that's really going to excite Lions fans. The last question I have for you is, just because he's spent so long on the director of college scouting, on that side of the football, do you think that he'll be able to, and, you know, spending his entire time with the Rams, will he be ready to put together a pro personnel side, like bring them from LA, or do you think he's well connected enough to reach out to other members in the NFL and bring some guys along with him in that way?
Yeah, no question. And, you know, especially when you're out on the road and doing this, you know, year round, where you're scouting and you're around other people who do what you do, you're bound to make friends. You're bound to forge relationships. You're bound to, you know, and knowing Brad Holmes, I'm sure that in his mind, he's probably been sizing people up. That's what you should be doing. Just in case, if I get my chance as a general manager, you want to be able to have a scouting report of, you know, other staff members in your head. You're probably compiling that kind of a list. So knowing Brad Holmes, I would figure that he's has an idea of who he would like to bring in. Obviously, because he hasn't done that before, there's always going to be that concern.
Sure.
But he's been around, you know, he's part of a process that's built this roster. You look at the guys like Blythe, who they brought in, and Austin Corbett, a guard from that they traded for, with the Browns, who was high on their list, in the draft, but he went high in the second round, so they weren't able to get him. But then the Browns inexplicably gave up on him, and they swooped in with a trade to get him for, I think, a fourth or fifth round pick. It's guys like that that, you know, his staff has input in that, because, the last time anyone really saw him play was in college at Nevada. So you have to be, if you're Les Snead, you're talking to Brad Holmes and his staff about this guy and trying to get him to go down on players like that. So, yeah, it's always going to be a concern when somebody hasn't done anything before officially. But, you know, if you know Brad Holmes, you have a sense that he's going to be meticulous. He's going to be thoughtful about it. He's going to build a strong staff, you know, and I'd be surprised if that part of the equation, you know, got the best of him. I would think that it would be the opposite of that. I think that he would be able to handle it and make that segue to being a general manager, because a lot of it is your staff. It's the voice that you give them. It's the respect that you give them. It's understanding and identifying strong candidates to be a part of your group. And I think that's it more than, you know, anything. Now, of course, it'll come down to, you know, now you're making decisions. You know, obviously you have to run it through your owner and whoever is on top of him. And some of that is just making a strong case for what your plan is and what your idea is and why is, and this is the reason why we should do this. But he's no wallflower by any stretch of the imagination. He's going to get his point across. He does it in a very, you know, classy way, but you get the point, you know. So some people are, you know, they get up on the table and you know, smash around and, you know, and make it, do it voicefully and forcefully. Other guys just do it a little bit more thoughtfully and prudently. And I think he probably falls into that category a little bit more. But the point is, the point gets across. And I think that, so long answer short, I think that he'd be fine in that. There is a little bit of a concern because he hasn't done it before, but I'd be shocked if he wasn't able to be a strong in that area, making that switch.
Yeah, Vinny, I lied. One last question, and it's real quick. I want you to be team president CEO because Brad Holmes has drawn interest from other teams. I know the Atlanta Falcons interested in him as well. If you are Brad Holmes, Atlanta Falcons or Detroit Lions, which situation seems better built for Brad Holmes?
Well, I want to say the last time I talked to him, I think he lives in Atlanta. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, dang.
It should be. I think he's based in Atlanta. Or somewhere in that, because he's from North Carolina.
That's so a big scouting hub too, right? It's really easy to get everywhere.
That helps. Although, you know, you got the Big Ten in Michigan. There's a lot of talent there, but you know, if he still lives in Atlanta, and I want to say, you know, I want to put some wrong information out there, but I believe that that's where.
I believe you're right. Yeah.
Obviously that could be a consideration for him and his family, but, you know, I think that but I also think that, you know, there's serious interest, you know, on his part, you know, with the Lions as well. So it's not like, you know, he would decline that or something like that. It is a proud franchise. I know that they've been on hard times, but, you know, there's no reason why the Lions shouldn't be a viable team with the right kind of leadership, and I think Brad Holmes is fits that. You know, I think that he'd be a tremendous asset and a great face for that part of the operation. But I couldn't predict, like, if everything was equal and he had job offers for multiple teams, what would ultimately be the deciding factor. But I guess if you're the Lions and you want them, go get them.
Yeah.
make it known.
Exactly. Yeah. And they might have to do that with him or Rick Smith, because both of them, I think, I think the Falcons have a leg up on the Lions, and just in terms of whether it's location or people that they already know inside the organization. But yeah, if he's your guy, go get him, make him an offer. He can't refuse, that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
Vinny, awesome information. I appreciate your time here. Before we let you go here, The floor is yours to promote whatever you want, whether it's your Vegas stuff, maybe if there's some Rams stuff that Lions fans are going to be interested in seeing, let us know. And where can they find you on Twitter and all that good stuff?
Yeah, at Vinny Bonsignor on Twitter. You know, as far as the Rams go, it's been a little while, about a year and a half. But, you know, all my stuff, I'm sure, is still on The Athletic. So just type my name in. You know, there, but currently, you know, the Las Vegas Review Journal, VegasNation.com, covering this unusual move for the Raiders from Oakland to Las Vegas without any fans, unfortunately. But, you know, and much like the Lions, you know, they're trying to get that corner turned and trying to get this thing straightened out and headed in the right direction. And so it makes for an interesting story with Raider fans and Raider Nation. It's frustrating and disappointing right now. But I do think that for them, you know, brighter days are ahead. Just needs a little bit more patience, which is hard to come by these days.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Vinny, thanks again for your time. Awesome, awesome stuff. We might, you know, talk up with you again. If Brad Holmes ends up being their guy, we'll probably reach out to you again to hear more more stories, because you had a bunch of them. And we appreciate your time.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good one and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks to everybody for listening. We will catch you again after the end of the Lions 2020 season, which comes to an end against the Minnesota Vikings Sunday night. We'll be here right here live on Twitch and YouTube, 7 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. But until then, it's chaos. Be kind, everybody.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.